Now we're holding the last words of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We discussed yesterday in the Mishnah, Reb Meir says that if a man is Makadish behek with using Hektish, then it depends whether it was B'shoigeg or B'mezid. Reb Meir said that if it's B'mezid, meaning he knew that it was Hektish, then the Kiddushin is valid. If it was B'shoigeg, then not. And Reb Yehuda says the other way around. So we were discussing why would Reb Meir say that if it was B'shoigeg, it's no good, and B'mezid, it's good. So we brought a reason from Reb Yochanan two reasons, one of which applies to that, and the other one to Maaser Sheni, where the mayor says with Maaser Sheni, whether it was B'shoigeg or B'mezid, he's not Mekadesh. And that according to the mayor, and so Reb Yochanan had explained one of them is because she doesn't want it, and the other one is because neither of them wants it if they know what it really is. And we had the discussion between Reb Yaakov and Reb Yirmiya, which reason would apply to which one. In any case, though, the point is that Reb Yochanan's opinion, Reb Yochanan's understanding of Reb Meir is predicated on the idea of Kedushei Tos. It's predicated on the idea that there's some kind of mistake over here, and therefore, if they had known what it was, then they wouldn't, if she knew, or if they knew, as the case may be, then they wouldn't have done the Kedushin, or they wouldn't have accepted the Kedushin in this way. But it's all based on this idea of Kedushei Tos. So now, Gemara is going to bring Rav, who learns differently. Omar Rav, so Rav says, no, there's another reason why Reb Meir distinguishes with Hektish between Shogeg and Mezid. Chazanu al kol tzdodim shel Reb Meir. Now, Rav doesn't like this explanation of Reb Yochanan to say that it has anything to do with Kedushei Tos or not. Rather, it is true that this that Reb Meir is saying that Shogeg, the Kedushin, are not valid. It's not because it nothing to do with Kedushei Tos, and nothing to do with that if it was Shogeg, then the Hektish would remain a Hektish and it wouldn't be Mischalel. Because Chazanu al kol tzdodim shel Reb Meir, we've looked at every side of Reb Meir's opinion. Every place where the mayor says anything regarding using Hektish and the dinim of Me'ila, v'loy matzinu Hektish b'shogig mischalo, but v'loy matzinu Hektish b'shogig ein mischalo b'mezid mischalo. We never find the mayor saying such a thing that there would be a difference between b'shogig and b'mezid, where you would say that b'shogig it remains Hektish. And b'mezid it does because it is mischalal. No, as a matter of fact, the mayor is going to say that it'll become chulin either way, whether it was b'shoigeg or b'mezid. Well, in that case, then why in the Mishnah is he saying that if he was makadish with hektish b'shoigeg, it's not valid kedushin? Again, given that Rav doesn't want to learn like Rabbi Yochanan that it's a matter of kedushei tos, that if he had known what it was, he wouldn't be makadish. Rather, our Mishnah is not talking about any kind of hektish. It's talking about specifically the coats, the long shirts of the Kohanim that did not wear out, that are still usable, that the Kohanim can still wear. So in other words, if someone is going and is Makadish, a woman, using one by giving her one of those shirts, would that be valid kedushin or not? Reb Meir is going to say that depends on whether it was B'shoigeg or B'mezid. The implication seems to be that he'll say the same din whether the guy who's doing the kedushin is a Yisrael or a Kohen. Now, the reason the Gemara is going to give is actually more applicable to a Kohen. However, Rishonim will explain in a couple of different ways that if it's not going to be Me'ila for a Kohen, then it's not going to be then it can't be for Yisrael as well. You can't really have something be Kodesh for one person and Cholin for a different person. And why is it that if the clothes of the Kohanim, whether we're talking about only the Kosnas or whether we're talking about other clothes of the Kohanim is a whole other question. But anyway, when they haven't worn out, when they're still usable, when they can still be worn by the Kohanim, then hovenitnu lehonis behen. The fact is the Kohanim have the ability to have hana from them while they're still usable, meaning, in other words, so they wear them for the avodah. That's not considered a hana because we have the concept mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu, that the benefit a person gets, the physical benefit that a person gets from doing it while doing a mitzvah, is not considered a hana in halacha. Which comes up in many other areas of halacha. However, what happens is, what is the kohen allowed to wear the bigde kahuna outside of the time of avoda? And the answer is yes. He could have hana from them, in particular, if it was b'shogeg, meaning that he takes them off after he's done the avoda, but inevitably he's wearing them for a short while after the avoda. The Torah is not given to the malachim, who can act on a split second notice, where as soon as they're done with something, then they take it off. People can't do that. Of necessity, when the kohen has finished the avoda, he's going to be wearing the bigde kahuna for a short while after that. So therefore, to begin with, when they were makdish the bigde kahuna, or the money from which the bigde kahuna is coming, they had in mind, Rashi explains, that they're allowed to have hana from them b'shoydig, that if they don't take them off immediately and they're not meaning to be mechalal them, then they're not going to be mechalal. So Rav says, applying that to our Mishnah, then that's why Rav Meir is distinguishing between Shogig and Mezid and saying B'Shogig it's valid Kedushin and B'Mezid it's not. Not because in general Rav Meir holds that Hekdish is going to, that there's going to be a difference between Shogig and Mezid in terms of whether the Hekdish becomes Cholin, but because in this particular place with the Big Dekona, to begin with, they're meant to be used B'Shogig, they're meant to be used in a way where the Koyan has no intention of being Mechalal then. And therefore, so the mayor would say then that if he takes one of these kosnis kahuna and uses it for kedushin b'shoigig, well then, since b'shoigig they never go out from their status of hektish, therefore they remain hektish, they're not his to use for kedushin, and therefore the kedushin won't be valid. As opposed to b'mezid, the big kahuna are not meant to be mischalal b'mezid. If he is mischalal b'mezid, then it means he's voluntarily taking them out of the status of hektish and making himself, but eventually he's going to have to pay hektish for that. Then he can be mekadish with those, because then by doing that, they become his moment. He's considered, in effect, like a gazlan who acquires the thing that he stole, and later on he's going to have to pay back for it. So that's how Rav learns Rav Meir's opinion. Which in that case then so Tosfa says, okay, how does that explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion then? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it's valid kiddushin if it was b'shogeg? And what he's saying about the mezid. So the question is twofold. Why is Rabbi Huda saying b'shogeg kiddush, and why is Rabbi Meir saying b'mezid loy kiddush? Or there's actually an explanation from Amakne and from the Koshnitzer Magid that the question is on both of them b'shogeg. Why does Rabbi Huda hold b'shogeg it would be valid condition, and even according to Rabbi Meir, we're saying only because nitnu lohanis behen. The question is, why do we need that reason? The fact is, they're clay shoris, and they're clay shoris, and just using them doesn't take them out of the reshus of hektish on the face of it. And so Tosfos explains that they were talking about kosnos that have not actually ever been used for the avoda yet. So they're not considered clay shoris until they're actually used. Once they are used and become clay shoris, yeah, and then you have the din that just using them doesn't take them out of the reshus of hektish. But here we're talking about they weren't used yet, so therefore they're still considered kodshe betik abayis. So we need the reason that since nitnu lahonis behen, once they do start being used, then the kohenim are allowed to have anor from them b'shoigig, and therefore the mayor would say that b'shoigig they're not his to use. B'shogeg, they're not his to use. Therefore, we can't be mekadesh with them. B'mezid, on the other hand, they're his to use in the sense that not they're his to use, but in other words, that then he's like a gazlan and he is koina them like that with yiyush and shinu reshus and whatever. So that's Rav's understanding of Rav Meir's opinion. Toshma, the Gemara says, but let's bring a proof against Rav. A Braisa says, Kosnis Kohuna Shabalu, when the Kosnis Kohuna did wear out. So Rav was talking about where they didn't wear out. The Braisa is going to be talking about where they did. Right now, the Gemara is going to assume that for purposes of the question, that the Braisa doesn't davka mean when they're worn out. It's just saying even when they're worn out, meaning even though they're not usable for avoda anymore, nevertheless, the Braisa would say, Moilad Behem, Me'ila would still apply Divrei Meir. So my love, afilu loy balu. Doesn't that mean, even if they didn't wear out, So in other words, the Braisa would be saying, whether they're worn out or whether they're not, whether they're still usable as Bigde Kahuna or not, nevertheless, Me'ila applies to them if he uses them b'shoyging. Well, that would contradict what Rav just said, that if he does, that if he uses the Kosnes Kahuna b'shoyging, that they're not considered his, and the Me'ila doesn't apply to them. They don't leave the Rishus of Hekdesh, and the whole concept of Me'ila doesn't apply. We see from this Braisa it does. And the answer is like Bolu Davka. No, you can say the Braisa means specifically when they wore out, because now they can't be used for the Avoda anymore. The Bigde Kahuna have to look fairly new. They can be a little bit. They can be a little bit dingy. The Gemara in Zvachim calls that Matushtoshin. But once they're worn out, they're not usable for Bigde Kahuna anymore. Instead, what they would do is they would use them for wicks in the Beis Hamikdash. So in particular, for Simchas Beis Sheva, Hasman Grama. Now the Mishnah mentions that they would use. They would use these kosnes, they would rip them into wicks and use them for the giant menorahs to light up for Simchas Beis HaSheva. Elsewhere, the Gemara explains that they would also use the michnasayim. When those wore out, the pants of the kohenim, then they would use those to make wicks for the menorah. Whatever the case, the point is, once they're worn out, they're not usable as Bigde Kahuna anymore. So therefore, so now you don't have this nitnu lahana span anymore. Rav's whole point of why there would be a difference between b'shogeg and b'mezid is all based on the idea that the kohenim are allowed to have hanah from the Bigde Kahuna. Well, once they're worn out, they can't have that kind of hanah from them anymore. Therefore, we can talk about me'ila applying to them at that point. So the b'raisa is not a contradiction to him, because the b'raisa is talking about dafka when they're worn out.
And with them, and with that,
so then, and then Me'ila applies, meaning, in other words, that if they use them, that if he uses them b'shogeg, then they're going to be considered. Then they leave the reshus of Hekdesh, when they're worn out, then it's like any other asset of Hekdesh, where he uses it b'shogeg, and it leaves the reshus of Hekdesh as a result of that, and now he becomes chayev in a korban in an asham me'ilos and in keren v'chomesh and all that. And therefore he'd be able to be mekadesh with it, because at that point it becomes his. Xeris hakosuv in that case, that by using that object, it now leaves Hekdesh's reshus. We're going to talk about it on Omid Beis. Not everybody agrees with that, but right now this is what Rav is saying. And the Braisa is saying, as opposed to when the Kosnes Kahuna are still usable, then he's allowed to have Hanah from them b'shogeg. So then his using them b'shogeg does not take them out of the Rishos of Hekdesh. Otherwise, in other words, every Kosnes Kahuna would leave the Rishos of Hekdesh every time a Kohen wore it, because again, inevitably, he's wearing it for a little bit of time after he finishes the Avodah. It's impossible for him to take it off within a split second after he finishes the Avodah. B'shogeg meaning he didn't realize he's not allowed to. He's not allowed to. He didn't realize that this is a kosnes kahuna, especially if you take what Tosfos is saying, that this is talking about a kosnes that wasn't even used yet. He may not realize that this is specifically one of Hekdesh. He may think that this is a stam a shirt off the rack or something. Okay, so the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof against Rav. Now, for this one, we're going to be talking about the dinim of the machzah shekel. So we need to elaborate on a little bit on how it works. Every year, a yid gives machzah shekel to the Beis Hamikdash, and that machzah shekel, much of it is used to buy the korbanos for the Beis Hamikdash and to buy the various other things that the Beis Hamikdash needs on an annual basis. It also, we learned in Ksubas, there are certain workers who do work for the Beis Hamikdash, teaching the kohenim hilchos shechita, certain dayanim, and so on and so forth, who get paid out of that money. Eventually, what happens is when they've used all the money they need for that year's operating expenses of the Beis Hamikdash, then they use it, as we're going to go on to say. Then you have the money that's left over. It's called Shiore Halishka, and among other things, they use it for, as we're going to see, for repairing the walls and the other infrastructure of Yerushalayim. Now this is all what's called Tiklin Chadatin. Chadatin means new. Tiklun Chadatin is the Aramaic word for new shkolim, so it means the new shkolim, the ones that a person is bringing this year for this year's obligation, a machzah shekel, and he brings them during Adar time, and they collect them during Adar time, which is why we lay in Parashas Shkolim at the beginning or right before Adar, and so forth. And in that way, the Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the new fiscal year of the Beis Hamikdash, and they start using the new money. Chadatin is the Aramaic word for new, like Chadoshim in Hebrew. You often find that a shin in Lashon Kodesh corresponds to a tof in Aramaic, and this is an example of that. Now, you can also have, what if a person missed giving his matzah shekel last year? He doesn't get out of it. He has to pay it. But that goes into a fund called Tiklin Atikin, which means old shkolim. In Masechta Shkolim, it describes how they would have a circle of 13 pushkas in the Beis Mikdash where people would put money for various purposes, and the first two are labeled Tiklin Chadatin and Tiklin Atikin. So a person who's bringing a Tzmachta Shekel this year, it would go in the Tiklin Chadatin box. If he's making up for a previous year that he missed, it would go in the Tiklin Atikin box. The Tiklin Atikin are not meant to be used for the Karbonis because that has to all be from new money that's brought this, they're from new money that's given for this year's responsibility of Matzah Shekel. And after all, the Pasuk says, so you can't have some people are giving more Matzah Shekel than others. So instead, those also end up in Shiurei HaLishkah, and those are also used for fixing the walls and towers and whatnot of Yerushalayim.
The new money or the old money?
So the new anything that's left of the new money after they bought all the korbanos for this year, as well as all of the tiklan atikin. Tosfos goes into some detail over here describing the exact seder. The Mishnayos in Shkolim describe the seder of how they would take the money out of the lishka during the year and use it to buy the korbanos. And you have different opinions in the Mishnayos over there what they would do with what's left with what they would do with the leftover money after they from each of those distributions. And then eventually it goes as we're saying over here for Choy Maseir Megdulay. The Tosfos also discusses the point that you also have now. You could conceivably have that they ran out of that they took the three distributions of money from the Lishka. The third one was around Sukkot time, and it's meant to supply the Beis Mikdash with everything it needs until next Rosh Chodesh Nissen. It could happen they run out of money, and then they go and they take more of the Shiurei HaLishka. So the Shiurei HaLishka are not really earmarked for the walls and so forth of Yerushalayim until the year is over, and at that point they're tikkun atikin.
Only it's extra.
Yeah, only when it's extra and it's not needed, right? So a Braisa says Moylan b'chadkin ve'in Moylan ba'atikin. The Me'ilah applies to the new Shkolim because those are used to buy the Korbanos, and therefore the Me'ilah applies to those just like it applies to the actual Korbanos. But Me'ilah would not apply to the Tiklan Atikin because those are never going to be used for those for the Korbanos. Those are going to be used for the walls and towers and other infrastructure of Yerushalayim. So Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now many of the Mefarshim take out the words Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi seems to have them because Rashi says the Kasavar of Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda holds such and such. On the other hand, Tosfos points out the Gemara is soon going to try to say that the second part of the Braisa, which quotes in the name of Rabbi Meir, is actually part of Rabbi Yehuda. If it said over here Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, it would be very hard to do that. So therefore, therefore Tosfos takes out the words Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to that, it would be a Tanakama who disagrees with the mayor, and the Gemara is going to discuss soon that might be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, Reb Meir says that Me'ilah would apply to the Tiklan Atikin as well. In fact, the mayor says Me'ilah would also apply to the Shiurei HaLishka. It would apply to the money that's left over in the Lishka after they use everything they need for the Korbanos and the rest of the operating expenses of the Beis Hamikdash. We have to distinguish, by the way, we have to keep in mind that you have a number of different funds that are a number of different baskets of money, so to speak, that are used by the Beis Hamikdash. You have the ones that are used to buy the korbanos and pay the salaries of those guys on an ongoing basis. Then you have Bedek HaBayis, which is a whole nother source of funds, which is where they need to do repairs to the infrastructure of the Beis Hamikdash itself. And then we have the repairs to the infrastructure of Yerushalayim. So the mayor is saying that Me'ilah would apply to the Shiurei HaLishka. And now we have to ask, according to Rav's logic, Ramai, why should Me'ilah apply to those Shiurei HaLishka, according to the mayor? Neima, shouldn't we say, Hove Nitna Lahonis? After all, you are able to have Hana from what's bought with that money, because for the same reason we said, because the Torah is not given to Malachi Asharis, given that some of that money is going to be used, for example, to repair the walls of Yerushalayim, it's impossible throughout the year. A person is not going to accidentally have Hana from the wall. He's going to sit in its shade, he's going to walk on or sit on top of it or whatever. So obviously, So what's the point? In other words, that you're allowed to have hanar from the walls of your shalayim, yet they retain their kedusha. The wall of the city, the repairs and then building of the wall of Yerushalayim and of its towers come from the Shiori Alishka, which includes the Tiklin Atikin, the Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Shkodim. The wall of the city, the tower of Yerushalayim, the towers, and everything else, the water, everything else the city needs, for example, the aqueducts to bring it water and other such things. All of that comes from Shiori Alishka. So you see, in other words, that even though you're able to use them, so even though you're allowed to have Hanar from that wall, it's still considered to have Kedusha. So why don't we say the same thing when it comes to the Kosnes Koyanim? Say that even though you're allowed to have Hanar from them, nevertheless, they still... in other words, let put it this way. We're saying that with the walls of Yerushalayim, the whole concept of Me'ilah doesn't apply to them. So then, according to the mayor, why would Me'ilah apply to the money from which they're purchased? So we see, in other words, that just because something is allowed for Hana doesn't have anything to do with the money that it's bought from. Whereas Rav is saying that Rav Meir is saying in general, Hekdesh is not Mischal B'Shogig, and there's a difference with Kosnes Kohuna because Nitnu Lohanes Behen. Well, we see over here in this matter of the walls that Nitnu Lohanes Behen doesn't change anything as far as not being allowed to use the money that they come from, where Me'ilah and Me'ilah would apply to them. So the answer is Lo Temer Rav Meir, Ela Emer Rav Yehuda. The answer is don't say that part is Divrei Rav Meir, rather say Divrei Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda is the one who, so Rav Yehuda would be the one who says Marilyn Af Ba'atikin, when we said Ein Marilyn Ba'atikin, we thought that was according to the mayor. Now we're saying that it's not Rav Meir is saying Merlin Afbatikin, it's Rabbi Yehuda is saying Merlin Afbatikin. Well, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds Me'ila would apply to it. Rav Meir does not, so therefore it fits still with what Rav was explaining within Rav Meir's opinion.
Now the words were said.
So now when it says, so that's why we take out the words Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Because Tosafot says otherwise, what the Gemara should have said is epoch. You have to flip around the opinions, attribute Rav Meir's opinion to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda's to Rav Meir's. So now instead, we're saying that no, the opinion in the Braisa that it says first you have an opinion in the Braisa that's not attributed to anybody, which is just the Chachamim in general, the Tanakama in general, whatever you want to call him, and then you have the opinion which the Braisa says is Divrei Rav Meir or Rav Meir Omer should really be Rav Yehuda. So in that case, then there's no contradiction on what Rav says. Actually, a couple of Rishonim learn. And the Ramban, the Ritva, talks about, listen, Me'ilah doesn't apply to something that's attached to the ground. The Gemara talks about that in Masechta and Me'ilah and in other places. So then, what are you even talking about Me'ilah as far as the wall of the city that we have to say, Nitnu Lohonis, because the wall is attached to the ground. So they explain, the question is basically, given that the money is being used to build the city walls and Me'ilah doesn't apply to them, how could it be that Me'ilah, according to the Tanna of this Braisa, is going to apply to the money? How do you have that Me'ilah should apply to the money, but not to the object that was bought with it? And the answer is that, in fact, Rav Meir would hold that Me'ilah does not apply to the money either. It's Rav Yehuda who holds that Me'ilah applies to the money, and therefore, so what would we say according to him? Fine, we're not dealing with that right now. We're trying to infer so that this Braisa is not a question on Rav.
Because there are things you buy that even to fix the walls that are metal from that are...
Yeah, I mean, you could say because Rav Meir doesn't hold this concept. Of, I mean, he holds obviously that you're allowed to have enough from them to show you because Linda and Eternal Malach HaShadis, but he might say that still doesn't take away the fact that they still have Kedusha and you're not allowed to deliberately go and use them. In fact, the Gemara in Psachim has a whole discussion about this kind of thing. Where you have loy efshav kamachav, and it's impossible to avoid having this hana, but you have hana, you have in mind to benefit from it, or the other way around, efshav loy kamachav, where it is possible to avoid it, but you're not meaning to have that hana, and other issues like that. The Gemara discusses about having hana from an intangible thing. For example, it discusses over there about having hana from the shade of the heichal. It mentions over there Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when he would give shiurim, he had such large crowds, they would have to sit in the shade of the heichal because the crowd was too big to fit inside any auditorium in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara discusses this whole point over there about the use of the shade of the walls. So that also bears on this whole question over here. Actually, there, by the way, the Gemara ends up answering the heichal is not basically meant to, the heichal is not really there to provide shade in the first place. The purpose of the heichal is the inside of it, to do the avodas that are done inside of it. Therefore, the shade is not really considered to have any kedusha in the first place, as opposed to the walls are meant, among other things, to provide shade. So therefore, you can talk about whether you should be having hanah from that shade or not. Okay.
Not taken away from the wall by having the shade blocked.
No, but the point is that the wall is there, among other things. The wall is not just there to enclose the city, it's also there to provide shade, as opposed to the heichal is not really there in not having to do with shade in the first place. Okay. So again, there's no question from this braisa on Rav. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof against Rav. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Avne Yerushalayim shenoshu, still talking about the walls of Yerushalayim. If stones fell off the wall, Merlin Behan, then Me'ila would apply to those stones. Give it a mayor, and then that's according to the mayor. So the question would be, in other words, so Rav should say that once they're they originally came from Mois Shiori Halishka, and the bottle now, as far as that, again, you're allowed to have hanah from the walls by using their shade. So now Me'ila shouldn't apply to them at all. Then why would the mayor say that now if you use those stones, then you've committed Me'ila? And in fact, the Shittel or Noidilami and the Atzmas Yosef point out, you know, there's a big difference between them. Before we mentioned the Kosnes Kohuna Shabalu, the clothes of the Kohenim that wore out. Well, once they wore out, you can never restore them to the condition where they were wearable again. Therefore, we can say Me'ilah applies to those because you don't have the heter of Lo Nitnatur L'malach HaSharis anymore. Stones you could put back in the wall, yeah. So it's one thing they say. If, in fact, the stones were to be shattered, then maybe, in fact, then yes, the Gemara would have no problem with the idea that Me'ilah should apply to them. But why is Reb Meir saying when the stones are still intact and could easily be put back in the wall, why should Me'ilah apply to them? And again, the answer is Lo Temer Reb Meir Ela Emer Reb Yehuda. So you're going to have to say again that it's not a coin to Reb Meir. You would have to say it's a coin to Reb Yehuda. The reason why, by the way, Marsha talks about a little further in the sugya, why does the Gemara keep assuming that we have to take Reb Meir's opinion and attribute it to Reb Yehuda? Why don't we just say that there are two Tanoim who argue within what Reb Meir says, as we're going to have soon. In fact, the Gemara is going to end up saying that there are two Tanoim arguing within what Reb Yehuda says. And the answer is because we find elsewhere that there are in fact different Tanoim disagreeing in what Reb Yehuda says. Regarding Me'ilah, we find no such thing as far as Reb Meir, so therefore the Gemara doesn't want to have to invent a Machlokas Tanoim within what Reb Meir says when we have no evidence that there's such a thing. So the Gemara says, E Reb Yehuda. So if you're going to say that we have to be Gurus Reb Yehuda over here, and Reb Yehuda would be the one who says that these stones that fall out of the wall, Me'ilah would apply to them, in that case, then we have a contradiction with something else that Reb Yehuda said. Because according to him, Yerushalayim Mimikadsha, are the walls of Yerushalayim even considered Kodesh, that Me'ilah should even be relevant to them? V'hatnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Nedarim, we learned it about a year ago. Now we learned there that the way that a person makes a neder, he's matpis the neder in a dover hanodur. So he doesn't just say, for example, this bread is osur to me. He says this bread is osur to me like something else, which is capable of getting kedusha through a neder. For example, the classic example would be he says this bread should be to me like a korban. A korban is something that you can do, but neder and a dava, so and it gets its kedusha that way. So now he's matfis. Now he associates that bread with the korban. So the Mishnah describes over there various expressions that he might use, whether they constitute whether that constitutes matfis b'dava hanodur. Now, for example, we learned over there that if he were to say, let's say, this bread should be to me like chazir flesh, then that wouldn't work. It can't be matfis that the neder and a dava. Similarly, if he says about certain korbanos, we're also, you can't be matfis. Let's say a bechor, because we had a whole discussion over there actually about a bechor, because a bechor, you don't give it its kedusha, it's boom. Anyway, so we learn in a Mishnah in Nedarim. Suppose the person says, I'm making this food ki'imra, like the lamb, and that would mean the lamb that's used for the korban tamid, and there's various other explanations, the mafarish over there that's printed under Rashi's name, and Tosfos, and different other Rishonim talk about various possibilities of what it could be. So here Rashi says it means the lamb of the korban tamid. Tosfos over there brings two other possibilities. It could mean the baby that's born from a chatas animal. So you designated the mother as a chatas, and now she gave birth to a baby, and that has a degree of kedusha. It's one of the classic chatois hamesis. Another possibility, Tosfos says, it could be referring not to a baby sheep, but rather to the ram that Avraham brought as a korban instead of Yitzchak. Anyway, whatever, that's considered davar hanodur. Kedirim, or if the person says the neder is that he's making the food to be kedirim, like the pens, which would be, Rashi says it means two kinds of pen. The pen where they keep animals for korbanos, and also the pen, the storehouse where they keep wood for the mizbeach. Both of those are a davar hanodur, because you can donate an animal as a korban, and you can donate wood to the Beis Hamikdash. Tosfos says over there, that's why the plural kadirim, because you're talking about two different kinds of deer. Anyway, ka'etzim, if he says that his neder should be, the food should be like the wood, meaning the wood that they bring on the mizbeach, ke'ishim, or like the fires of the mizbeach, or there's two different explanations. One is it can mean the fire, or it can mean the fire. It can also mean the korbanos that are brought in the fire. All over the Torah, they're described as ishe reach nichayach l'Hashem. So therefore, the ke'ishim would mean the same thing. Anyway, kehechol, if he says that this food should be like the hechol, kamizbeach, or like the mizbeach, which are both built out of funds that are donated by the Jewish people and end up in Moser, Trumas Alishko, Shiore Alishko, they end up in Kodshe Bedek Abayis, actually, but whatever, that's one of those piles of money that we were talking about before, but people donate to Bedek Abayis, and Ki Yerushalayim, and if he says that he wants this food to be like Yerushalayim, so all of those are a valid neder, and now the food becomes usur to him. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kolo, I'm a Yerushalayim, I'm a klum. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That if he says Yerushalayim, then it's not a valid neder, because then the Yerushalmi brings on that, because then he only means the wood and stones of Yerushalayim. He doesn't mean any of the kedusha of Yerushalayim. Well, so now if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that Me'ila would apply to the walls of Yerushalayim, well then why is he saying in this Mishnah in Nedarim that there's no Kedusha in Yerushalayim, it's not considered a Davar HaNadur, and therefore he can't be Matfis with that?
One thing we just know is that if you eat a carbon, it has to be done in the wall of Yerushalayim. So
that's true, but that's
some type of...
There is a type of Kedusha, but it's not necessarily a Davar HaNadur. That's the key thing, is whether it's a Davar HaNadur, which is also relevant to the question of Me'ila. Now you can answer, maybe the difference is, because the Mishnah is saying that Rabbi Yehuda says, if he says Yerushalayim, so maybe you'd say there's a difference whether he says Yerushalayim or Ki Yerushalayim. Ki Yerushalayim would mean I want this food to be like Yerushalayim, and you could argue that's Matfis B'davar HaNadur. Maybe if he says Yerushalayim, that would amount to, I'm swearing by Yerushalayim that this food should be also, and that's meaningless. Yerushalayim is not something that you swear by Hashem's name, or by something or something else, that a cheftza of Kedusha, not by the city of Yerushalayim. So you're going to say maybe that's what it means. No, v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kola, I'm a ki Yerushalayim, lo yom haklum. If he says like Yerushalayim, he didn't say anything. Ad sheyidu b'davar ha'kore b'Yerushalayim. Only if he's matfis with something that is offered in Yerushalayim. So one of the korbanos, the wood, etc., but not Yerushalayim itself. So we see, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim is not considered a davar hanadur. Therefore, Me'ila shouldn't apply to it b'chlal. What are you telling me in the previous braisa that we have to switch and say that what it's not Rabbi Meir says that Me'ilin, that Me'ila applies to the stones that fell out of the wall. Rather, it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that. How could you say that? Marsha also brings up the point, by the way, that the Gemara is not saying that maybe there'd be a difference between b'shoygeg and b'mezid. After all, we said according to the mayor, there's a difference between whether he uses the hektish b'shoygeg or b'mezid for kedushin. So why not the Gemara just make that distinction? And the reason is because the reason is because the whole concept of so he says the Lashon Moylin generally means b'shoyvin. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua says, what is the Maharsho even wondering about? Whenever throughout Mishnayos we talk about Me'ila, Moylin Behen, we always mean what happens if he does it b'shoyvin. We have to pay Keren Rechoymesh and bring an Osham. Me'ila b'mezid is a whole nother animal. We don't talk about that b'chlal very much. So when it says Moylin, by default, we're going to assume it means b'shoyvin. Anyway, the point is that we find, Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah in Nedarim, or in the Braisa explaining the Mishnah in Nedarim, that Yerushalayim is not considered a Dover HaNadur. Here, on the other hand, we're trying to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who, in order to end for Rab, that would say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying there is Kedusha in the walls of Yerushalayim. Fine, as long as the walls are standing, then Me'ila doesn't apply to them, we could say, because Lo Nitnatur L'malach HaShoris, like Rab said, but if a stone falls out of them, then Me'ila does apply to it. Why? And the answer is Tre Tanoi Ninu Valibad Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is there are two Tanoim arguing within what Rabbi Yehuda says, whether Me'ila is going to apply. So one Tana would explain Rabbi Yehuda to be saying that if a person were to take a stone from the city and use it for his own purposes, let's say to build it in his house, he would commit Me'ila. The other one says no. And therefore says Yerushalayim is not a Dover HaNadur, and you can't be matfis with that. The question boils down to basically where taka is the money for building the walls of Yerushalayim coming from? Is it coming from shiori halishka, from what's left over of the matzah shekel on the tiklin atikin and so forth, or not? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily have to agree that it comes from that source of funds. He could say it comes from someplace else, and therefore that there may not necessarily be any kedusha in it, right? Tosfos further discusses this, and you have a Gemara in Ksubas that we also learned about a year ago that talks about that the repairs of the wall come from Shiori Alishka, like we said before, and then we have a different place where it says that they come from that they come from other sources of funds. So basically that would reflect the two opinions that we're saying over here within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the fact that, again, what makes the Gemara think that there were two Tanoim within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion rather than within Rabbi Meir's is precisely that point that we see the Mishnah over there uses the expression Yerushalayim is not a valid neder, whereas the Braisa says Ki Yerushalayim is not a valid neder, implying that they're arguing whether Yerushalayim itself is a Dover HaNadur. Now, so we've entered Rav's explanation. So now, so far, we have two explanations of Rav Meir's opinion in the Mishnah. We have Rav Yochanan's explanation that we had on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, that it's all based on the idea of Kiddushei Tos, that one or both of them wouldn't have gone through with this Kiddushin if they knew that it was Hekdish. And we had Rav Yaakov and Rav Yumi arguing whether it's one of them or both of them. And then we have Rav saying that in general, Rav Meir would say, That it doesn't matter. Either way, it's mischalal, and therefore it can be used for kedushin. Specifically, when it comes to things that you are allowed to have hanah from them while they're hektish, such as kosnis kahuna, then you have the difference where a mayor would say b'shoyigig versus b'mezid. Now we're going to have a third explanation. According to Rav's understanding of the mayor, with most things of hektish, whether he uses them b'shoyigig or b'mezid, either way they become his. It's considered as though he took it from Hekdesh. It was Mischalo. It now leaves the Rishus of Hekdesh. He's just responsible to pay Hekdesh for it, and therefore he can use it for Kedushin. Only by these Kosnis Kahuna and other similar things, we're saying maybe by the walls of Yerushalayim or whatever, where you're allowed to have Hanah from them even while they're in use for their actual purpose. So there, then we would say that if he uses them B'shoigig, then if he uses this kosnis kohuna b'shoigig, then they haven't left the rishos of hekdesh, because in general he's allowed to use them b'shoigig without them leaving the rishos of hekdesh. Therefore, kiddushin with them is not going to be effective
because
it still belongs to hekdesh. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to have a third understanding of the mayor. Or not really. So Rashi explains that this isn't really going to be a third opinion. This is going to be rather bringing another opinion that agrees with Rabbi Yochanan and explains what Rabbi Yochanan was saying about Kiddushei Tos and explains it in a different vein. There are Mephoshim who explain that the next explanation we're going to have over here of Ula disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan on certain specifics. But basically, he does. So they would agree. There's a matter of toast over here, but they would argue it's on different grounds. They would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that the din of Rav Meir in our Mishnah applies to everything of Hekdesh, not just like Rab says that it applies only to the Kosnes Kohenim, but he'd be arguing with Rabbi Yochanan on the reason behind it, not necessarily Kedusha Toast, but rather a different consideration. So there are two different ways of understanding the following explanation. So Amar Ula, Mishmei de Bar Pada, Oimer, so he's saying in the name of Bar Pada, who was Bar Pada is one of the late Tanoim / early Amiroim. He's from that transitional generation between the Tanoim and Amiroim. He's mostly mentioned in the Gemara. His opinions are mostly mentioned in issues involving Kodshim. He appears a lot in Seder Kodshim and in other parts of Shas that deal with matters of Kodshim, very little anywhere else.
We've had him before.
Yeah, we've had him. Anyway. So Oimer Hoyer, he explains, Oimer Hoyer Rav Meir would say like this, the difference is Hektish b'mezid mischalol, b'shogeg and mischalol. The difference is that Hektish becomes mecholol, it becomes de-sanctified only when he used it b'shogeg, only when he used it b'mezid, but not b'shogeg. So that would cause the problem. So similar. So again, one way of understanding him is to say then that specifically we're talking about by Kiddushin, because again, we said nobody wants that they should be doing an Aveira, that the Kedushin should happen through an Aveira, and therefore we would call it Kedushin Tos. Or he might be saying more generally, not just in the matter of Kedushin, but in general, Rav Meir would say there's a difference between Shogeg and Mezid as far as it becoming Mecholol. V'loy Amru, B'Shogeg Meschalol Ela Inyan Korban Bilvad. So Bar Pada says, when the Torah says that the person has to, that it applies only b'shogeg, and again, like we said before, throughout Shas, whenever we use the word moilin, is referring to b'shogeg, that would mean only regarding the korban. So if he did it b'shogeg, then he brings the korban, and if he did it b'mezid, he doesn't. But the concept that the money, the concept that becomes, that the money, or whatever object it is, that it leaves the reshus of Hekdesh, that would apply either way, that wouldn't apply. It doesn't leave the reshus of Hekdesh. It actually remains the property of Hekdesh. So,
would that work? We could be Makadosh.
Well, therefore, he can't be Makadosh with it. It's not his.
The Karim plus he can't.
Right. Well, the question is, well, then why is he Chayev the Karim in the first place? If what he did is not even effective.
But it's not.
If it didn't leave the reshus of Hekdesh, if it's still considered. Never mind Hana. If the point is, in other words, if what he did was ineffective. Now, the Rashash points out over here, there's in Masechta Tmura, in Masechta Tmura, in Seder Kodshim, there's Machlokas Habaya and Rava on the question, when the Torah tells you not to do something, and you went and did it anyway, do your actions have any effect in Halacha? The original thing they were talking about over there, for example, the Torah tells us you're not allowed to do a tmura. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomeroisei. If a person did, to what extent the Torah says it has an effect? Can we generalize, because v'ho yohu tmurasi yekodesh, can we generalize from that in other areas of the Torah?
That to show that yes.
In that case, yes. But not necessarily does that apply to kol Torah kula. The Gemara has a whole sugya on it that extends over several blocks. So the Rashash points out that this question over here in the Gemara would really only be according to Abaya, who says that what he does is effective. That's why he can be punishable, not just by Me'ilah, not just by Tzmura, but by other areas in Halacha. Rava, who uses the expression over there, Kol Ma'id Ovid Dom Rachman Loi Savid, Rava says anything the Torah says, don't do. He Ovid Loi Mahani, if he's over on it and he does it, it's not effective. So the question wouldn't really be according to Rava. Rava would say, it doesn't matter whether what you did was effective or not. The Torah is punishing the person for trying to do it in the first place. But according to Abaya, who says the only reason the Torah can punish him or penalize him, whatever, is because what he did actually has an effect. Well, then the question over here is, if it didn't have an effect, and Bar Pada is saying it doesn't, because the effect is only that he has to bring the korban, but the object itself still belongs to Hekdesh, well, then what's the logic that he should have to bring the korban at all? So rather we have to fix up what Ula said. He also Rovin, when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, Purish, he explained Mishmei Bar Pada. He explained further what Bar Pada is saying. He says, Oimer Hoyer Rav Meir, Hektish b'mezid mischalol b'shogeg ein mischalol. Yes, Hektish will become mecholol only if he used it b'shogeg, only if he used it b'mezid, not b'shogeg. V'loy Omer b'shogeg mischalol ela in achila b'lvad. When do we talk about the idea that if he used it b'shogeg, it becomes cholin? and that now he's a and now it becomes his, and now he's chayev the korban b'chomesh and the korban elo in achila bilvan, only if he ate it or otherwise consumed it. Rashi and Tosfos both point out it doesn't have to dafka mean he ate it. For example, it could be he uses oil of hekdesh and burns it. That would also be considered meila because he's destroying it.
Well, do that, if that's considered destroying meila, then the mikdash wife.
So Tosfos actually says that you could now. What about we talked about on Amud Aleph? About meila applies to tiklin chavatin, meaning that you're using them, let's say, to buy something or whatever. You haven't destroyed them, so why would meila apply according to that logic? So Tosfos says because when you're having, you could have a case where you're having hana from the actual coins themselves. For example, you're using them as a counterweight on a balance scale. So, in other words, what Bapadeh is saying is, if you just spend the coins, then they're not. Then, and if you just spend the coins, and it was b'shogeg, then they wouldn't. Then they wouldn't be mischalal. The coins still belong to Hekdesh. In fact, in that case, he wouldn't necessarily be bringing the korban at all. But if he used them in a way that uses them up, whether eating or burning them or whatever, or as Tosfos is saying, if he used the actual goof of them themselves, then indeed, Bapada would agree that Me'ila does apply to them, even that Me'ila does apply to them.
Showing it.
The example with the scale would be considered the kind of hana that would make him chayiv and a korban, and that's why we said on Amud Aleph Moilin B'tiklin Chavatin. We don't mean, in other words, a person takes some of those coins and spends them on buying something, but rather they use them to actually weigh something. Okay. So again, according to Rashi, Bapada and Ula and Rovin, who are quoting them, are not disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. They're explaining what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Given that the hekdesh is mischalal only b'mezid, not b'shoigig, so therefore, if they're doing the kiddushin b'shoigig, we can assume that they don't want to do an aveira. They don't want to have an aveira done through them. That kiddushin should be done in a way of aveira. As opposed to, and then again, there are other Mefoshim who learn not like that and say Ula and then Bapada, and the rest of them are actually disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan on the underlying, they're agreeing with him that it applies to other things, not just the Kosnes Koinim, like Rav says, but they disagree on the reason behind it. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, because of Kedushay Tos, they were saying because B'chlal, the mechanism of Me'ila is different, B'shogeg and B'mezin. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amr of Nachman Bar. So now we have to start discussing between the two Tanoim in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Once we've established that there is this machloikus between them and the reason behind that and the reason behind that and the various reasons behind that machloikus, now we have to establish who the halacha is like between them. So the Gemara says, Amr of Nachman, Amr Rab Adaba Abba, Halacha Kirab Meir, B'Meiser, the Halacha is like Rab Meir in the matter of Meiser Sheni, that if he's Makad, now we have two Machlokas in Rab Meir and Rab Huda in our Mishnah, one about Meiser Sheni and one about Hekdesh. So Rab Meir had said, as far as Meiser Sheni, doesn't matter, Shurgig or Mezid, either way, it's not a valid Kedushin. Rab Yehuda had said, it depends whether Shurgig or Mezid. Then we had, as far as Hekdesh, where the mayor said, B'shoigig, it's not good kedushin, and b'mezid it is, and Rabbi Yehuda had said the other way around. So Rabbi Nachman now tells us, halacha could a mayor be meiser, when it comes to being the kaddish with meiser, the halacha will be like the mayor. Hoy over sosim lantana kavasei, because we find a stam mishnah like him elsewhere. And we know, usually the halacha is like a stam mishnah. And v'halacha k'rav Yehuda b'hekdesh hoy v'sasim lantana kavasei. On the other hand, when it comes to the matter of hekdesh, we find a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore that implies the halacha is like him. In other words, the general rule is that when Rebbe put together the Mishnayos, usually he makes a stam mishnah to be the opinion of the majority of the chachamim, and that's why he writes it as a stam mishnah. Where we usually say stam mishnah to mayor, but the point is that would be the language of it as according to the mayor. The opinion in it may or may not be according to the mayor. So, but when it's given as a stam mishnah, we're usually meant to understand that the halacha is like it, and therefore, if Rebbe chose to put the opinion of the mayor elsewhere as a stam mishnah in one thing, and the opinion of the Yehuda elsewhere as a stam mishnah in another matter, that implies the halacha is like them respectively in these two cases.
Rebecca.
Yeah. So, could a mayor b'maiser sheni b'maiser mayi? where do we see the opinion of Rameyer as far as Meiser? Where, let's remember that what Rameyer's opinion by Meiser is based on the concept that Meiser Sheni Momen Gavoya, that it's considered to be the property of Hashem. It's not really your property, therefore you don't have the ability to be Mekadosh with it. We talked about yesterday, we learned in the Gemara, that we learn it from certain psukim, but because by Meiser it says Kodesh LaShem Hu, and therefore we learn from that that it's exclusively for you to eat in your Shalayim, or trade for money that you're going to bring to your Shalayim, etc., and not to be Mekadosh with. Meiser Sheni is the one that you take it to your Shalayim and you eat it there, or you exchange it for money and bring the money to your Shalayim and buy food.
And
the one for the Levi is Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon has no intrinsic kedusha of its own. The Levi has to give Trumas Meiser from it to the Kohen, but once he does, and then Trumas Meiser is reserved only for the Kohen, and he can only eat it Patara, etc. But once he takes that out, the rest of the Meiser Rishon is complete chulin, and he can do with it whatever he wants. What?
He
can give it to Israel, he can give it to his animals, yeah, whatever. Let's see.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So like this, we have a Mishnah, the Tanan, Kerem Revai. A vineyard in its fourth year. Now, we know the Torah tells us that a tree or a vine, during its first 3 years, the fruit is orla. After that, the fourth year is called revai. And it has dinim similar to Meiser Sheni, that you have to take it to your shalayim or exchange it for money, etc. The Gemara in Brachas, by the way, brings a machlokas, whether b'chlal, does this whole concept of revai apply only to grapevines, or does it apply to any fruits, two different gersois, kerem revai or netter revai. Here, we're talking about a kerem revai anyway. Beis Shammai says, it's true, it's like Meiser Sheni, however, not completely. It doesn't have the din of Choymesh, namely that if the person, when the person is exchanging the Meiser Sheni for money, if it's his own, he has to add a Choymesh. We learned about that earlier in our Masechta, that if it's your own Meiser Sheni, you have to add a Choymesh. We talked about if a wife is being poured to her husband's Meiser Sheni, we talked about a son being poured to his father's, or a shliach being poured to whatever. But the Beis Shammai says, with Revai, it's not like that. You don't have the din of Choymish in the first place. The ain like beer, and the concept of beer doesn't apply to it, meaning beer maestris. We know the Torah tells us in Parashas Kisavai that at the end, that after the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, you have to make sure you've given all the Trumas and maestris and Bikurim and so on and so forth to the respective parties where they're supposed to go. And then you say the declaration of there be Arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. But Shammai says Netter Revai or Kerem Revai is not included in that. Or Beshilah, I mean Yeshloi, Beshilah holds both of those things do apply to it. Then the Mishnah continues. Beshama Omim Yeshloi Peret Yeshloi Oilolus. Now, on the other hand, Beshamai says that a vineyard of Kerem Revai, the dinim of Peret and Oilolus apply to it. Peret
fall down. Right?
So wait, Peret means individual grapes that fall down. So the same way as by grain, you have leket, where you drop one or two stalks of grain. Say actually, the Shammai themselves holds three also, but whatever. The same way by grapes, if one or two, or according to the Shammai, three individual grapes fall down from a cluster, you have to leave them for the poor people. And Olalus, which is undeveloped clusters of grapes, where you have a normal cluster has a certain shape to it, which the Rishami calls Kesef and Netef. You have like a, near the top of it, you have grapes that are attached, you know, that are attached to little stemlets that come off the main stem, and then they hang down over there, and you have like ones that are one thickly on top of the other. That's called Kesef and Netef. Olalus are not like that. You have like little individual stemlets here and there that come out of the branch with grapes. An individual grape attached here. And I'm explaining it's called Olalus because the word Olal means a baby. So it's almost like a baby cluster. Anyway, the Torah tells us by grapes specifically, you have the din, you have to leave those for the poor people.
The word Kesef, that's in Chumash, right?
No, well, the word Kesef you have in Chumash, it means not a shoulder. But I mean, not Kesef as in money, Kesef Kaf Saf Fe. It means a shoulder. So it means that the good. These details are in the Yerushalmi on whichever Masechta discusses the dinim in Meiser Sheni, I think. Anyway, so or pay, actually. Anyway, where the pay is where these dinim are discussed. Anyway, so whatever. The point is that Beis Shammai is saying that even though the food is revai and it has to be taken to your shalayim, etc., but they say the usual rules of peret and olos do apply to it. The owner of the vineyard has to leave those for the poor people. Or Beis Hillel, kulel agas, Beis Hillel says that no, all of the grapes in the vineyard, you can take them all to be pressed into wine. You don't have to leave the peret and the olos for the poor people. Now, let's figure out, why does Beis Hillel say that? My time at Beis Hillel, why does Beis Hillel say that you have to do. So why do they say that you need chumash and beer? And why? So why do they say you need to give the chumash when you're redeeming it, like Maaser Sheni? And why does beer Maaser include it? And the reason is Gamri Kodesh from Maaser Sheni. They make a Gzeira Shoba on the word Kodesh from Maaser Sheni. By Maaser Sheni, it says Kodesh Lashem. By Kerem Revai, it says Yir Kopiria Kodesh Yilul Lashem. So therefore, we learn Gzeira Shoba. My Maaser Yeshle Choymish Vyeshle Beer. Just like by Maaser Sheni, Choymish explicitly applies. The Torah says so explicitly. And Beer explicitly applies, again, because the Torah says so. After Kerem Revai, Yeshle Choymish Vyeshle Beer. So therefore, they say that the same concept applies to Kerem Revai. Obes Shammai lo gamri, Kodesh Kodesh. Maaser Obes Shammai doesn't learn that Gzeira Shavah. We know throughout Shas, a Talmud would learn, he can't make up a Gzeira Shavah of his own. He has to learn the Gzeira Shavah, the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. Obes Shammai had not learned this Gzeira Shavah of Kodesh Kodesh from their Rebbeim.
They had two different Rebbeim, Obes Shammai.
Yeah, that's how they came to be two different yeshivas. To begin with, they had learned by different Rebbeim, and yeah.
They were
in the same time, but still they had learned by nevertheless, each group had learned. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Brachas over there, when it discusses this whole matter of Kerem Revai and Neter Revai, makes a different point over there, which is because it says Hilulim, because it's Kodesh Hilulim, we learn from that the word Hilulim is similar to the word Chilulim, which means you have to be, it means Mahal, it means you have to praise Hashem for it, but it also means Chilulim, it means that you have to first be Mechalal it, and only then can you eat it. So why do we need that if we have this Zera Shabbat already? And so Tosfos' answer is because without that, first of all, you would think, you know what, look, Maaser Sheni only applies in 4 out of every 7 years. Maybe Kerem Revai only applies in 4 out of every 7 years. It doesn't apply in the third and the sixth year because you have Maaser Oni instead. And it doesn't apply in Shemitah because you don't have any Maasers. So maybe Kerem Revai doesn't apply during those years as well. Therefore, you need the word Hilulim to tell us otherwise. And also, Tosfos says, otherwise, we would think to learn from Shemitah, where Shemitah food has other dinim. It's Tosfos Damav. Even if you trade Shemitah fruit for something else, the original fruit always retains its Kedusha. So therefore, you wouldn't know, and therefore you need both the Gzeira Shavah and the word Hibulim. Anyway, the point is that, so Obesilil Oymen Kemaiser. Now, if Besilil is saying that, what is Besilil saying? Again, that therefore you don't need to give Peret and Oilus from it. Instead, it all goes, you can press it all into wine and bring the wine to your Shalai. So, Obesilil, if they were saying Neter Revai is in all respects like Maaser, Keman Svirlahu, well, which of the two opinions, as far as who Maaser Sheni belongs to, would they be holding like? E could Rabbi Yehuda, if they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Maaser Sheni is that Maaser Sheni is not Momen Gavoya, well then, Amai Kula Lagas, why would they say it can all go to the wine press, you don't have to leave Peret and Oilus for the poor people, he's saying by implication in our Mishnah, and in other places in Shas, that Maaser Sheni is Momen Hedya. Well, therefore, Kerem Revai would also be Mom and Hedya. Therefore, you should have to leave Peret and Odalus from it, like any other vineyard of yours. Because it was, again, Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel is learning the Zeta Shavah from one to the other. Ella Lav Kerem Meir. Evidently, Bes Hillel must be holding like Kerem Meir. Maaser Sheni is Mom and Gavoya. Well, therefore, so is Kerem Revai by the Zeta Shavah. So we see that we have a Stam Mishnah over there, and saying that it's like Bes Hillel is considered like a Stam Mishnah, because almost never is the Halacha like Bes Shammai. So therefore, so it's considered that you have a Stam Mishnah like Reb Meir. So therefore, that shows, applying that to our Mishnah, when Reb Meir is saying, therefore, a person is Mekadosh with Maaser Sheni, he has no ability to, because it doesn't belong to him. Well, we see in that Mishnah that the Mishnah is making the same point. Maaser Sheni doesn't belong to you, therefore, you don't have to leave Peret and Oilus from it. Peret and Oilus are only a vineyard that belongs to you. This Kerem Revai, the fruit of it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Hashem.
And therefore, you don't.
So therefore, you don't have to leave Peret and Oilus, but therefore, you also can't use it for Kedushin.
Could you press it together with the rest of your...
So that's the thing. You press it to make wine, and then you bring that wine to your Shalayim. Normally, by the way, you can't do that with other fruits. You can't, for example, if you have apples, according to the opinions that Kerem Revai applies to other kinds of fruits. So let's say if you have apples of Netzer Avai, you wouldn't be allowed to press those and make apple juice and bring that to Yerushalayim. But the grapes and olives are an exception because they, in general, the liquids made from those are considered even more important than the fruit themselves. Okay. So there we see that we have a Stam Mishnah, like a mayor as far as Maaser Sheni, that we established there that it has to be that. So this hill evidently holds that Maaser Sheni is Mom and Gavoya. That agrees with the mayor's opinion.
Have you heard that a mayor?
That Bes Hillel holds like a mayor's opinion that Maaser Sheni Mom and Gavoya. So you have a Stam Mishnah like him over there. Therefore, that would imply, says Reb Nachman, that the halacha is like him over here as far as Kiddushin.
That
you can't be Makadish with it. Yeah.
And that's a mayor.
Yeah. Okay, could Rabbi Yehuda behektish ma'ihi? Where do we find a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda that says that hektish is the concept of me'ila and hektish is not like a mayor that there would be a difference between shogeg and mezid, but rather that or that the difference would be the other way around, like Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that if he's mekadesh with hektish b'shogeg, then it is a valid kedushin because then it leaves the reshus of hektish, but mezid not. Where do we see a stam Mishnah that expresses that idea?
If it's fruit or if it's clothes?
No, because according to that, it would make a difference, clothes or not. But that was only according to the mayor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Pashtus, there wouldn't be a difference. Anyway, so like this. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah. Now, first, the Mishnah starts describing a case where a person sends money to a storekeeper with a cheder shirt of a cotton. So then he tells them to buy something with this money. Now, a cheder shirt of a cotton don't have das. So therefore, what happens? So in other words, the case is actually, so the case is, one second. The case is the Gizbar himself, who is responsible for the treasury of the Bis Mikdash. He takes some money from there, and maybe not realizing that it was hektish, and he gives it to a cheder shirt of a cotton. The din would be, if they do exactly what he told them, then he's committed me'ilah. Now the Mishnah continues that if he sent that shilach biad pikeach, if he sent the money with a regular normal person who has das, the nizko adshalei yigia etzel chenveni, and he remembers that it's hektish money before the shliach reaches the storekeeper, chenveni mal, then the storekeeper, when he uses this money, will be the one who committed me'ilah. Rashi brings from the Gemara over there that why wouldn't the shliach be chayev? We learned earlier in this parak that in such cases the shliach can be chayev. The reason is because we're talking about the shliach also realized that it's hektish money. The only one at this point who doesn't know is the chenveni. Now, if you want to save him from that, then what you do is you machalal that money beforehand on some other money before he gets it. But if you didn't do that, then the chenveni would be the one who commits me'ilah because he's the one who is shogeg at this point. He'll have committed me'ilah when he spends that money. So we see that there's a difference between shogeg and mezid this concept of me'ilah, that it leaves the reshus of hektish, and therefore these committed me'ilah applies only by shogeg, not by mezid. And that's a Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda in our sugya over here, who says that there's a difference between shogeg and mezid in that regard. That the shogeg, therefore, the kedushin is valid because then it left the reshus of hektish, and the mezid not because it's still in the reshus of hektish.
How would the mezid be now? Case how?
So mezid would be if all of them know it's hektish money. Oh. So then it's still considered to be in the reshus of hektish. In fact, Tosfos points out the Gemara could have brought a proof from the first case of cheder shirt of a cotton, but there it doesn't explicitly say that if it was bemezid, that it's not miskalel. Here we see clearly from the sefer that where it's clear that when one of them is b'shoigig, then it's me'ilah, implying that if all of them are bemezid, then there's no me'ilah. So therefore, that bears out the distinction that we're making in our Mishnah between shoigig and mezid. However, the Gemara asks, okay, but fine, so what? You're telling me because there's a Stam Mishnah like the mayor about Maaser and there's a Stam Mishnah like the Yehuda about Hektish, therefore the Halacha is like them respectively, but I can find you a Stam Mishnah like the Yehuda as far as Maaser Sheni as well. I can find you a Stam Mishnah that implies that Maaser Sheni is not Mamon Gavaya. So we learn in a Mishnah, if a person is redeeming his own Maaser Sheni, he has to add the Chomesh to it, whether the Maaser Sheni is his own or whether it was given to him as a gift. In other words, somebody else took Maaser Sheni and then gave it to him as a gift. And now it's considered his, so it would have to be, so he'd have to give the Chomesh. Now, Mani. So who would that be? Who would that Mishnah be like? Elamir of Meir. You're going to tell me it's like a Meir? Can't. Me Moti Yoivle, the Matona. How could somebody else give it to him as a gift in the first place? But I'm a Maisa Momen Gavaya. If a Meir is saying that Maisa Sheni is Momen Gavaya, then you have no ability to give it as a gift to somebody. Now, you do have you can have, for example, that the Mishnah mentions over there that you can give, for example, you can invite somebody to eat it with you. But you can invite somebody to come and eat, to eat it with you in Yerushalayim, but you can't give it to somebody as a present. So according to the mayor, if it's Mom and Gavaya, El Olav Rabbi Yehuda. So wouldn't that mean this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Well, there you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda that says that Maisa Sheni is not Mom and Gavaya, and therefore it's possible to give it as a gift. And if you give it as a gift, then we mean that then the Mishnah is saying you have to pay a Chomesh when you're redeeming it. So the answer is like Olam Rav Meir. No, after all, you could say that Mishnah is like Rav Meir. V'hocha Ma'iskinen, you're thinking it's talking about that he gave him the Ma'is Sheni already separated. No, k'gon d'yoyev ni'ale b'tivle. He gave him the fruit while it's still tevel, before Ma'is Sheni was taken out. V'kosavar, now, Rav Meir holds Matonis Shalehumu k'mi Shalehumu damyan. Before the Matonis are taken out, it's not considered that they were actually taken out yet. Sometimes, in various places, the Gemara discusses this point. You could say that the matones are considered as though they were already taken out, to the extent that the fruit that eventually is going to be Maisa Sheni already has the din of Maisa Sheni. Therefore, it means it's already Mom and Gavaya. Rav Meir doesn't hold of that concept. So therefore, he would say, or we could say, Rav Meir doesn't hold of that concept. Therefore, when he gives him Tevel, it doesn't have the din of Maisa Sheni yet. It's not yet Mom and Gavaya. Therefore, he's able to give it to him. Now, later on, when the recipient takes out Maisa Sheni from this tevel, he's going to have to add a chomesh there.
In other words, the effective of Maisa Sheni does not form with until you...
Until you actually designate it as Maisa Sheni, right.
So meanwhile, what's it called?
Meanwhile, it's called tevel. Yeah.
With also a problem.
No, well, you can't eat tevel, but you can give it as a gift. So, yeah. Okay. So therefore, that Mishnah is not necessarily like Rabbi Yehuda. It could be like Rabbi Meir, and the scenario is different than you thought.
And that they
that not that he gave him Maisa Sheni that was already separated, but gave him Tevel that includes future Maisa Sheni in it. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Fine, I'll bring you a proof from a different Mishnah. A Mishnah says a poida neter avai shaloi. If a person redeems his own neter avai, and here this Mishnah is following the version that it's neter avai, not kerem avai, meaning that it applies to all kinds of fruits, not just grapes. Anyway. Moisif olav chamishi, so he has to add the chomesh, like we learned before, like the Sibyl says. Bein mishaloi, bein shenitan loy matana, whether it's his own, whether it grew in his own orchard, or whether it was given to him as a gift. Again, mani, who would this Mishnah be like? Elamir a mayor, would he say it's like a mayor? Can't mi matzi yohivle? How can he give it to him? Vaha gamri kodesh from Maisa Sheni. We said before, we're learning Xeder Shava according to Basilo from Maisa Sheni, and just like Maisa Sheni from Mi Maiser, and just like Maisa Sheni is Mom and Gavoya, so is Neter Avai, which is why Basilo said before you don't give peret and oilus from it to the poor.
Because
it belongs to Hashem. So Ella,
then what can you use it yourself for?
You
have to take it up.
Yeah, you have to take it yourself. Elolav could Rabbi Yehuda. Elolav Rabbi Yehuda. Wouldn't it mean this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Here we can't answer that he gave it to him as tevel, of course, because neter avai, there's no such thing as there's no tevel and then whatever you have. As soon as it grows, it's neter avai.
And
it's automatically becomes, according to Basil, it automatically has the full kedusha of Maaser Sheni, including, according to the mayor, that's Mom and Gavaya. So therefore, necessarily, this Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yehuda. There you have a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you telling me? By Maisa, you only have a stam Mishnah like Rav Meir. Here you have a stam Mishnah like Rav Yehuda. The answer is loy, not necessarily. Not loy. La'olam Rav Meir. La'olam Rav Meir. You could actually say that it is according to Rav Meir. V'hach Ma'iskin gundi yoyev shu smodar. He gave him the fruit when it's still smodar, when it's still at a very unripe, at a very early stage. Meaning you have the fruit grows from flowers. You have a point when the petals of the flower fall off. And then you have the very undeveloped fruit over there that you see as like tiny little grapes. That stage is called smodar. Suppose he gave it to the other guy at that point. So it's not yet an udaloi k'Rav Yosi. And namely, this Mishnah would be not like Rav Yosi. Dama smodar osim of Neshu Pri. Rav Yosi says in connection with Orla, that smodar is already also because it's already considered a fruit. The Tanna of this Mishnah would be disagreeing with that and saying, no, it's not considered a fruit until it's at a later stage of its development. Now, it can't be that he gave it to him even earlier than that, because then it's a davar shelo b'alaylam. So it has to be that he gave it to him at that young stage. So therefore, the Tana would this Tana would hold. It's not yet, doesn't yet have the din of netzer davai. So it's the equivalent of what we said before about giving him the tevel before the ma'aser sheni was separated. So therefore, so that could work. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Mishnah says, Moshe chemenu ma'aser b'sela. Suppose that one person is buying Maisa Shani from somebody else for a seller, and he did Meshicha, so they had agreed between them that we're going to sell this amount of fruit for a seller. Before he had the chance to pay the money, it already went up in value, and now it's worth two Sloyim. No, since seller, he only has to pay one seller, and with stack of the seller, he gains, he doesn't have to pay the second seller.
Because
the Maisa Shani belongs to the Lekeach. He acquired it with Meshicha. We learned in the previous parak that metaltlin you can acquire with Meshicha. Well, once he did Meshicha, he acquired it. So therefore, the fact that the price went up afterwards, it's not considered that he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to bring that extra money to Yerushalayim.
So has he paid a little before it, or
not? He paid a little. He they agreed between themselves that this amount of fruit is worth a seller. Once he did Meshicha, then that price is locked in, and now even if it goes up. So again, Mani, who would this Mishnah be like? Elamed a mayor, would it be like a mayor? Can't. Am I a stack of a seller? Why is he gaining a seller? If it belongs to Hekdish, the Nosan of Sakesa for Komloi Omrachmana, when it comes to Hekdish and other things that are Momen Gavoya, you have the expression in the Pasuk, which is actually a paraphrase of a Pasuk, that you give them money and then you acquire it. So only when the money is paid does it actually change hands. Unlike by a Hediot, where Meshicha is coined by Hekdish, you need the actual money to change hands, and you don't have that. Elalav Rabbi Yehuda. Evidently, this Mishnah has to go like Rabbi Yehuda. So you have who says that Ma'aser Sheni is not Mamon Gavoya, it's Mamon Hedya. And therefore, the usual rules of Mamon Hedya to apply to it, including that Meshicha is effective. So therefore, so you have a Stam Mishnah in Ma'aser like Rabbi Yehuda, like in Ma'aser Sheni, like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you telling me that you have a Stam Mishnah like a mayor in Ma'aser Sheni, that Ma'aser Mamon Gavoya, who therefore the halacha has to be like him? On the other hand, here you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is the Gemara says, okay, fine, but lo'olam Rabbi Yehuda, fine, I agree with you. This Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Still, v'hocha chad stoma, v'hocha trei stoma. But Rabbi Yehuda, we have one stam Mishnah that follows him. Rabbi Meir, we have two stam Mishnahs that follow him, because not only that Mishnah that we quoted before about Kerem Revai, about Meshama and Meshillel, not only does that Mishnah appear in Masechta Ma'aser Sheni, it also appears in Masechta Edius. So that's a second place where we have a Stam Mishnah like that.
You know, it was the same thing.
So even though it's the same Mishnah repeated twice, but nevertheless, the fact that Rebbe chose to put it as a Stam Mishnah in two places strengthens it.
Two against one.
So you want to ask why? What do you mean? The Stam Davka. If you say that when Rebbe is putting a Stam Mishnah, he means that's the halacha. Mali chad stam, mali trei stam. What's the difference? It's one or two. You still have to figure out which Stam Mishnah is it like? Why does two beat one in that case? And the answer is, Amar Nachman Yitzchok, halacha could have mayor, hurl tnan b'chirta kabaseh. It's not just that the Mishnah is mentioned twice. It's because, it's fine, we're stopping at the end of the Amar over here, exactly. Because one of those Stam Mishnahs, according to the mayor, is in b'chirta. B'chirta is a nickname from a Masechta Edius. Masechta Edius, anything, there's the rule throughout Shas, anything that's taught in Masechta Edius is the halacha. Because you have Masechta Edius was he'idu, that the Chachamim all gathered together, and different Chachamim are testifying about what Udiyu Chachamim had taught, and everybody agreed to that, so therefore the halacha is always like it. We know famously from the story in Brachas that when they deposed Rav Gamliel as Nasi and appointed Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that was when they taught Masechta Edius, because now the Beis Medrash is wide open and anybody who wants to come is welcome to come in. So now they're able to clarify many halachas that were up in the air before that, and that was when Masechta Edius was taught. So therefore, anything in Masechta Edius, the halacha is like that. And therefore, the Gemara calls it Bechirta, which means the chosen ones, because like everything in there are choice halachas where the halacha is like them. In fact, there's an explanation, I think, from Tiferet Yisrael on Mishnayos. He says, like this, we understand usually the name Edius is Meloshon Eid, because they testified. But he says also it can be Meloshon Edis, like Edis, Venus, Viziboris. These are the best, the choicest of all the halachas in the Mishnah. And Bechirta is there's a direct Aramaic translation of that. And therefore, since that Stam Mishnah is in Masechta Edius, that gives it greater weight. So it's not just a matter that you have one Stam Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni and repeat it again elsewhere in Shas, but that elsewhere is of all places in Avius. Therefore, that strengthens the point that Rebbe is telling us the halacha, or the chacham of an earlier generation than Rebbe, who arranged Masechta Avius, are implying with that the halacha is like Reb Meir, and therefore that's how it is.
So the two of one again is
so it's not a matter of two against one. It's a matter of the one of out of the two. The one of them is an Avius, and that has much greater weight than any other Stam Mishnah. So therefore, the result of that is the halacha is like Reb Meir in the end, in that because his opinion is taught as the opinion of Beis Hillel in Masechta Avius.
So still at the end is one according to
so that's it, but those are different din. So the fact that there's another Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda, okay, not always do we pass him like a Stam Mishnah. When we have a Stam Mishnah in one place that's contradicted by a Stam Mishnah in Avius, then the one in Avius wins out. So therefore, so in this case, in the matter of Maaseh Sheni, then the halacha winds up being like Reb Meir. In the matter of Hekdesh, where you only have one Stam Mishnah, like Reb Yehuda, then the halacha is like him.
And Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir, you one goes always like the hill. They sell ones like Bashama.
No, that's not necessarily. You know, the Mishnah that we quoted with Shama and Basil's opinion, that can only be understood according to the Meir. If we understood according to the Yehuda, then the whole machlokas wouldn't make sense, because how could you say you don't give Peret and Olus? Why not? It's your mom. Only if we take as a basis for it Reb Meir's opinion that Maaseh Sheni is Mom and Gavoya, then you can learn him Zeta Shava from it, as Basil does, and say that Kerem Revai has the same meaning. Okay, so that's that. And then the Gemara is going to spend the next couple of blocks dealing with more details about all this business of when Hekdesh is Mechulal and when not, and associate it with the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, respectively. So that'll be over the next couple of days of Yom Tov.